First Chronicles, chapter 24. The first verse reads, Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Our theme this evening is our great high priest, our great high priest. All the scriptures, one way or another, testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that without twisting or resting them in any way. And that is no less true of this chapter, albeit somewhat indirectly so. Some parts of Scripture speak explicitly of Christ. The Gospels give us the account of what he did and taught in this world, and of his actual work of redemption on the cross. The epistles expound his redeeming work and explain it to us and how we should live in response to it. But the prophecies of the Old Testament sometimes refer explicitly forward to Christ, and at other times by type or in some other way. And here, in dealing with the priesthood, it is a somewhat indirect but nevertheless real lesson to us concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Having given us the families of the Levites, we now move on to the priests, the sons of Aaron, before we have the rest of the sons of Levi at the end from verse 20. First of all, we learn worship is a serious business. Worship is a serious business. Verse 1 and 2. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. This refers to what took place in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1 to 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. We are to worship God in God's way, both in outward form and in disposition of heart, and no other way. His worship is not to be trifled with. Frivolity in the worship of God indicates a lack of awareness of his holiness and majesty. We are to let us worship God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Worship is not to be reduced to a man-centered entertainment with God as a mere extra. The worship of God is the worship of God, and it is not to be compromised or modified on any ground whatsoever. That doesn't mean that we don't explain things to the incomer or that sort of thing, but the essence of worship and the ordinance of worship are not to be tampered with because of any human consideration. The simple form of New Testament worship compared with the complexity of the Old Testament form does not mean that God has changed, or that the reverence with which he is to be worshipped has changed either. Same God, same reverence, different form in certain respects, because God himself has changed it. But God has not changed. The form of worship has changed, but the disposition of heart and the seriousness with which it should be engaged in has not changed at all. Secondly, divine revelation needed but now complete. Divine revelation needed but now complete. Verse 3, and David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, according to their officers in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. And thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar. The order in which the priestly divisions were to minister was determined by lot. God appointed the sons of Aaron, but his verbal revelation, he revealed his will concerning the order, the lots, the different courses of priests, he determined by lot. And lots are used to gain divine guidance in Scripture. For example, in Leviticus 16 and verse 10. Leviticus 16, verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 6. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 6. You shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. And then in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 26. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, all that happens is within the plan of God. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 33. But we have no general warrant or basis for regarding all lots as giving divine guidance. And now that the whole word of God is complete, they should not be employed in this way. So we find that the elders and deacons in the New Testament church, for example, after Pentecost, were not appointed by lot, but by application of God-given qualifications. So now that God has given us the whole of his word, we are not to rely upon lots and assume that God is giving guidance by them. Where they were employed prior to the completion of Scripture, there was reason to believe by revelation from God that he would reveal his will through that lot. But we have no continuing or general warrant for the use of lots to find the mind of God. That is why you tend to find that lots are used by those who are not reformed and who do not believe in the clear distinction between the extraordinary gifts and the ordinary gifts, the difference between those who are cessationists, that is, who believe that some of the gifts of the Spirit were extraordinary, and those who regard them all as continuing. Among the latter group, you find a greater tendency to use lots. But our forefathers generally regarded the use of lots as being part and parcel of the extraordinary state of things prior to the completion of Scripture. Thirdly, the continuity of Christ's intercession. The continuity of Christ's intercession. From verse 3 right down to verse 19, we have the lists of the priests, the sons of Aaron. And what is noticeable is that there are many of them. That's stating the obvious. There are many of them. They were divided into 24 courses or divisions to take their turn in ministering at the altar. So in Luke 1 verse 5, we find Zacharias, that he was a member of a particular course. Luke 1 verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So Zacharias was of the course of Abia. In verse 10 of our chapter, we read the 7th to Hakos, the 8th to Abia. Spelling and pronunciation are slightly different, but Abia is giving the more Greek rendering of Abijah, or sometimes J in Hebrew is like a Y sound, Abia. And so it's referring to the course of Abijah, and that was to what Zacharias belonged. Let's notice some things about this priesthood. First of all, this priesthood was appointed by God. This priesthood was appointed by God. It wasn't just anybody who felt like doing the work of a priest. He had to be appointed by God, the sons of Aaron. In Hebrews 5, 4 to 6, this principle is applied to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5, verse 4. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So our Lord Jesus, like these priests pointing forward to him, was appointed by God. And it is a divinely appointed mediator that we need. Christ is that man whom he hath ordained. to be mediator and judge, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. But then also, the priestly ministry is continuous. Why were there these courses? Why 24 courses? Why or divisions? Why were they on shifts, as it were? Well, the answer is because the intercession was to be continuous. At the end of chapter 23, it's speaking about the Levites, but the Levites helped the priests in verse 30, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feasts, by number, according to the order commanded unto them, continually before the Lord. So there was to be a continuous work. There were no days off. One commentator compares it to the chemists and other essential services, that there's always somebody meant to be on duty, so that even on public holidays and so forth, someone is available. You can get a doctor or a chemist. Yet this is even more so. But if it was true then, it is all the more true of the antitype, the one to whom they pointed, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. Hebrews 7 and verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He has a continual priesthood. He ever liveth to make intercession. There is no time off, no days off. Our Lord Jesus ever lives to make intercession. But Christ's intercession is not one of continual sacrificing, but of intercession based on one offering. So Hebrews 7:27, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. And then in chapter 9 and verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There the argument is, there will be reversal, but not repetition. That just as men die once and are brought back to life, they are raised at the last day, it won't be to repeat the present life. So likewise, the Lord Jesus was once offered. He's ascended up to heaven. He will return. There will be reversal in that sense, but not a repetition of what he did the first time in bearing the sins of his people. Fourthly, Christ alive forevermore. Christ alive forevermore. Notice the number of priests to keep up this ministry day by day. But not only were there such numbers, but they had to be replaced by further generations of the sons of Aaron because they died. So there was a number of priests, and then there was a replenishing of the number of these priests as one generation passed away and another came. But this is different to our Lord Jesus, for although there are types pointing to Christ, there are also deliberate contrasts, as we've often said, so that the Old Testament priesthood pointed to Christ by way of parallel, but also by way of contrast. Some things that were true in the type are reached their greatest fulfillment in Christ, but other things which were true of the type are the opposite of what is true of Christ, the ultimate reality. There were a number of priests, and they died and were replaced. But Christ, it is otherwise. Hebrews 7:23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Christ being dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Even essential services in this world can let us down. The chemist's door can be shut. The doctor cannot be found. It can happen. But not with the Lord Jesus Christ and his intercession and mediatorship. We can come to God through Jesus Christ without any possibility of disappointment. He will, he's there, he ever lives, he intercedes for his people. The door is never closed on sinners drawing near to God through Jesus Christ alone. And then fifthly, Christ did it alone. Christ did it alone. In verse 20 to 31, we have the remaining Levites. The remaining Levites, verse 20. And the rest of the sons of Levi were these, of the sons of Amram, Shubiel, of the sons of Shubiel, Jediah, and so on. And in verse 31, these likewise cast lots over against their brethren, the sons of Aaron, in the presence of David the king, and Zadok, and Abimelech, and the chief of the fathers of the priests of Levi, even the principal fathers, over against their younger brethren. This is the balance, as it were, of the Levites, which have been dealt with mainly in chapter 23. So not only were the priests many, but they had Levites to help them. No one worked with the Lord Jesus Christ in the sacrifice of himself. He did it alone. He shall build his temple, and he shall bear the glory. In redemption accomplished, he did it alone. Not only was he the offering and the offerer, but he offered himself alone. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down, I have power to lay it down, and power to take it up again. And I gave, lay down my life for the sheep. Our Lord Jesus did it alone. Even in the agony of Gethsemane, he's being isolated to bear the curse of God. Even the privileged three who were but as stones cast away, they slept for sorrow. And later on, they all forsook him and fled. He alone offered himself for the sins of his people. His own arm wrought salvation. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why we must glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we oppose with vigour all attempts to put anyone alongside him. The old battle between biblical Protestantism and Roman Catholicism is not about an unfortunate misunderstanding centuries ago. It's about honouring Christ as the sole and only Saviour of sinners. Let us then glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Amen.